I thank the Lord that He has a mind and a love to deal with each and every one of us. He cares about us. And He's interested in every one of us making heaven. So I thank the Lord this morning for the privilege to know a God, to know a Savior that loves me, cares for me, cares what happens to me, what touches my life. And He's always working in a way that He can bring me the pleasure and the joy of salvation and eventually help me make heaven my home. I'd like to begin, as I've been thinking about a man in the Bible, the Old Testament time, that we call him the father of faith. Think about Abraham. Surely God did work in his life. When Abraham was a fairly young man, I think, well, I shouldn't say he was a young man. I believe the Bible says he was 75. But back in those days, maybe that was a young man. But anyway, the Lord came to him and He spoke to him and He said, up. Get you out of this country and go to a land that I have provided for you, that I want you to enjoy. So he says, Abraham listened to the Lord, did what the Lord said. He got up, he took his wife, and he took his nephew, Lot, and they headed out to that land that God had promised him. And Abraham had several experiences and encounters with the Lord that seemed to guide and direct in his life. The time came when the Lord met up with him again and he told him, he said, I'm going to raise up a nation. I'm going to raise up a people after your seed. And you're going to have a child. And that was very hard for him to believe and understand, get a hold of, since he was about 100 years old and his wife was 90. Nevertheless, the Lord said to him, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for the Lord, is there? So for some reason, whatever his reason is, divine providence of God, he waited till Abraham was 100 years old, and he chose at that time to allow Sarah to begin to bear a child, and that child was brought forth, and his name was Isaac. We know about Isaac and his time, and Isaac had children, and it was through them that the Lord began to bless and began to propagate the earth and began to work and began to build and work on a church back there in the Old Testament time. And the Lord blessed Abraham because he was faithful and also because he was obedient to do what the will of the Lord was. The time when after Isaac was born, he was a young fellow at the time, young man. And the Lord told him to take him and go sacrifice him unto me, didn't he? That was a hard test, wasn't it? The Lord knew that Abraham loved him, but nevertheless, Abraham had to pass some tests to prove his love to God. And so Abraham did what the Lord said. Took his son, he took some of his servants, and they went to a place where the Lord showed him, and they went up to the mountain to offer up Isaac a sacrifice on the altar. This is a story to us. But can you imagine, can you put yourself in his place to know that it really actually happened in his day, in his time? It really happened to him. And I think of the faith that he had in God when he took his son and they headed up to the mountain, and he told the fellows, he said, you fellows stay here, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, my son and I are going to go up and worship God, and then we're going to return. Somehow or another, Abraham didn't know how he was going to do it, but he believed that God was going to either raise his son back up after he took his life, or he was going to do something else. And God did something else, didn't he? He provided a sacrifice, a ram caught in the thicket, God provided the sacrifice, but he let Abraham go so far as to raise the knife to slay his son. The divine providence of God and his dealings with you and I, folks. I don't know what limit he will work in your life, what he will allow you to have to face or to deal with in life. But I know one thing, God is worthy to be trusted. I know one thing, I know that God knows what he's doing. He's divine and his providence is great in you and I's life. So I'm thinking now Abraham was blessed and God guided him when he promised him something. He made a covenant with him. And when he promised him something, he kept that promise. God has promised you and I something too today through his son, Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that privilege to live in a day of grace, to live in the day when Jesus has been born and has died and rose again and sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I this morning. So I thank the Lord for that privilege. But I think about God's gracious dealings with you and I and with mankind today. And with that thought in mind, I'd like to look at a scripture. It's found in Luke, the 14th chapter. Verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I'd married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in thither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. God in his mercy and love is still reaching out to you and I today and mankind. I appreciate everyone that's answered the call, everyone that has allowed the Lord to deal with them, to tenderize them, to work in their hearts and in their lives. Because God wants to do a great work in each and every one of us this morning. He wants to bless us. He wants to provide things for us because he loves us. He wants to give us great blessings and great good things in our lives. He wants to do those things. So the parable here that Jesus gave talks about a man or a king that made a great supper and he called many to come. And his servant at supper time say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Folks, I mention this a lot here in our congregation. Time is winding down. It's wound down to what to today. Don't know how much more time there is left, but we do know that eternity is drawing nigh. We do know that from the changes of the world and the changes of things that are around us, we do know that time is winding down, and we do know that opportunities that are missed may never be given again. The word of God here, this parable is of the word of God, and he had sent the messengers to come and to hear what God had to say, and to learn what God wanted for them, to learn what God desired for them. But they began to make excuses, didn't they? He sent his messengers. He's still sending the message today. The word of God is still going forth today. But people are making excuses, he said. They refused to attend the supper. Do you know that it's folly? It's pure folly to trifle with the summons of the gospel. The Word of God, folks, is the most precious, valuable thing that you and I have. The Word and the Spirit will come together in agreement and will be power in our lives that we can overcome, that we can conquer in this life. And those things are so wonderful and so important to you. And it's folly to trifle with God, isn't it? It's folly to trifle with His Word. When the call goes forth, when He's talking to our hearts, and I know that I'm not talking to a group of sinners here today. I understand that. But folks, we haven't made heaven yet. And the world out there is all around us. And the world out there has a great influence upon us. And we've got to be careful and we've got to be watchful and we've got to be on our guard. Because the devil is still relentlessly challenging every one of us. Do you know God's mercy today? His mercy is His Word. It's His Word. He died that you and I could live. He rose again that we might have hope of resurrection and an everlasting life that we can live with God throughout eternity. Folks, do you ever think about those kind of things? Do you ever think, and I know I was young once and I don't remember thinking a whole lot about some of this, but folks, do you ever think about eternity? Do you ever think about heaven where God is? Heaven is heaven because God is there. And that's where I want to be someday. I've learned down through my years that life can be a toil. Life can bring sorrow and sadness, and it can bring heartaches, and it can bring disappointments. I've learned that down through my life. But oh, there's a place, there's a land. It may be far away today, but I'll tell you how far it is, folks. It's one breath away for every one of us. Eternity's one breath away. But there's a land, the song says, that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. I want to go to that land. I want to be faithful. But the supper has been made. The word is going out. The messages are still being sent. And folks, these folks were making excuses for reasons that they couldn't come to the supper. I wonder, at that great day of all days, the judgment day, I wonder how great or how much excuses will stand up. I don't think God's going to accept any excuses, doesn't He? He said, I made the supper, but you bought land and you wanted to go look at the land. I made your supper. I gave you the word. I sent the call, but you wanted to go and prove the oxen that you just bought. Whatever the excuse is, folks, don't you realize how ridiculous that they're going to be at that time? They'll have no change or no bearing. Those excuses will have no bearing on how God will judge you and I. The thing that saddens me today, as I consider it a lot, think about people and how people are living, how busy people are, the thing that saddens me today is that people don't truly understand the seriousness of eternity. I have a sister that's very close to that place. And I think about her and along with many others that it's just a matter of a breath. And we're going to be over there in that time to a place that really we've heard about. We know a little bit about, but none of us have ever been there. Only God really understands those things. And at that time, we'll all be in God's hands. Excuses out the window, folks. It'll be that you and I are giving an account of the deeds that are done in this body. That's what Paul said. And we'll be giving an account of that time. Oh, I think about the man in another rendition. I believe it's over in Matthew, this same story. He talks about the man and when the king came in, he looked around and he saw a man there that didn't have on a wedding garment. Remember that? He didn't have on a wedding garment. And he turned to him and he says, and I'm paraphrasing again, where's your wedding garment? And he said, he was speechless. Didn't know what to say. Don't have anything to say. No excuses here. I'm speechless. But folks, the garment was provided, wasn't it? A wedding garment was provided for every one of us. And you and I need to take the opportunity, take the time, folks. It still takes time to serve the Lord. It takes time to worship the Lord. It takes time to read and to pray and to draw your minds and your hearts from this old world that we heard in Sunday school this morning. And draw nigh to God. The scripture says you draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you, folks. And when He draws nigh to you, then you can resist the devil that's coming against you. You know, there's something that's always amazing. The two people can see the same thing, and yet they can look at the same thing but see something different in what they're looking at. I think about the two thieves that were on the cross. Both of them deserved to be there according to the nature of what they had done and the punishment that was due them according to that time. They both deserved to be there. But it says the two thieves there, the one on the one side said, looked at him and he saw hope. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He saw hope, didn't he? And he called out and he cried out to God with his last dying breath, folks. And the other fellow with his last dying breath, he railed on him, didn't he? And he said, if you're truly the Christ, he said, save yourself and us. How is it that we can look on things like that? People looking at Jesus today, and all they're thinking about is saving themselves. Instead of falling on the cross and accepting Jesus into their heart and life, people, so many people today, thinking about themselves. It's an all about me world, folks. And that's what is important to, seems like, so many people today. But this old world has nothing to offer your eternal soul. The world doesn't have anything to offer your soul, folks. The devil doesn't have anything to offer your soul. The devil can offer you pleasures. He can bring things that satisfy the flesh, satisfy pleasure, those kind of fleshly pleasures in your life. But he can't give you anything, no matter what he promises, that will bless your eternal soul. He can't do that. I want us to consider some thoughts this morning. Sin is in our world. Has been ever since disobedience in the garden. Sin is intended. I hope you can get a hold of just some of this, maybe this morning. Sin is intended to arouse and stimulate the baser lust of the flesh to the point at which the conscience is smothered. Think about that. Sin is intended to bring you to a place where your conscience has been compromised and it's smothered. No longer does sin affect you when you come to that place. Sin brings you to the point when your will against evil is broken. You know, we can sit here this morning and say, you know, I've heard messages and I've been saved and I've heard these things all my life. Folks, let me tell you, you're not in heaven yet. And you're still facing an enemy. And he knows your weaknesses. He knows exactly how to attack each and every one of us. He knows the very things that he can use against us to destroy us. Jesus said he's a thief and comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So the enemy knows how to do these things. He knows how to desensitize us. Say, well, it's really not as bad as they say it is. Folks, it's bad today. It really is. You know, I saw something in the news. As a matter of fact, got the paper in off the porch before I came to church, and right there on the front page, do you know some of our people today, those little laundry pods, Tide pods that you put in laundry, they're eating them. Not babies. Our young people today, they're eating them on dares. And they're burning their stomach, they're burning their throats. They're destroying them, they're eating them. It's almost like we've come to a time where there's no common sense anymore. People are willing to take a chance with their life and do something so foolish. Folks, there's poisons in those things. Those things were meant to clean clothes. They weren't meant to eat. But they're eating them. And it seems like it's almost arranged today that more and more people are trying those kind of things. Sin. It smothers the conscience, folks. And also the will against evil is broken, and the temptation against evil is broken. You give in to the temptation. You give in to the evil. Our world is in a mess today. And it's so sad to see that. These are souls. The supper has been made. The call has been given. Come and eat of my supper. And they're out there eating soap laundry pods. And doing all kinds of ridiculous things that they're doing out in our world today. You know how the enemy gets us to these kind of places? He does it in the same way that he got Eve. Subtly. A little bit at a time. A little step at a time. He brings souls down to the place where they don't even see it coming. I didn't see that. I didn't realize that was coming. People blindsided today because, folks, if you allow your affections, if you allow your desire to go after the things of the world, folks, it's folly. It's folly. And will definitely cost you your souls. My interest and my desire is that people would be saved, that people would make heaven their home. That's my burden and that's my desire. I want to look at a scripture, probably not used very much, but I want to use it this morning by the help of the Lord. It's found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. God's gracious dealings. Because He cares about our souls. Because He loves us. And He's interested in us. And folks, if there's anyone that understands the depravity of the human heart that hasn't been given over to God, God understands that. He understands the depravity. He understands the culpability of someone that will go out there and indulge in the things that will destroy not only their souls, but their bodies. I know what I'm talking about there. I've had a little experience with that too. May the Lord help us today. If He can't get you one way, the devil will get you another, if He can. But the Lord's made a supper, and the call has been given. I'd like to look at this, 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Should have his father's wife translates into he married his stepmother. And Paul heard about it, found out about it, and he's speaking to the church at Corinthians. The church at Corinthians, when Paul got there, Corinthians was a place where there was idol worship. Worshiping all kinds of different gods, and Paul was trying to help these people there to understand the one true God, to understand what morality was, what honesty was, to understand what God was requiring from each and every one of us, and Paul had a real concern for the situation there at the church, at the congregation there in Corinth. And he said to them, "Ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, but he hath done this thing, but he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, he cannot draw down any more authority than he is drawing down on this. He can't bring any more authority on it. "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Paul's saying here something, and I'm putting it in my words, something atrocious has happened in your congregation. Something that if you allow that to continue and to go on, it's going to drag others down. It's going to cause your conscience to be defiled. It's going to cause evil not to be so evil anymore. Folks, we cannot afford to accept things that are evil, things that are wrong. We can't do it. I don't know why the Lord's bringing this to my mind. I mentioned this some time back. I was in a place, and the Lord had given us a message. And in the message, I talked about a woman. I heard her testimony on the radio, of all places. She wasn't among us. But she spoke of when she was a young girl, and how that her father molested her when she was a young girl. And it went on for quite a long time. Well, she got to looking at the situation, and her father, he was a very upstanding member in the congregation. He was the one that stood by the offering when they took up the collection. He was an usher, highly thought of. Brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so, highly thought of. And yet, for months, maybe years, he molested his own daughter at home. To the point where she got to looking at this and considering it, she didn't say anything to her friends, because she said, now this is a woman now. She said, I thought all my friends, this was happening to all of them. So I just thought it was a normal thing. It's amazing to me what people have to deal with in life sometimes. I think the Lord, I've had it kind of rough because of my hard-headedness, but I haven't had to deal with things that some people have had to deal with in life. And so she says, I'm a woman now, and I got to looking back on those things. And I began to realize when I learned and understood what Dad was doing was wrong. Everything was hid and it was covered up. Even the people at church didn't know anything about it. And then there come a time when God began to deal with my heart. God began to talk to me. And she said, I'm basically saying, God, you allowed me to go through all that. You allowed me to deal with that. And now you want to come talk to me. Why did you allow those kind of things to happen to me? She not only had to deal with how her father treated her, but she had to deal with the fact that God allowed that in her life. And it made it so difficult and so hard for her to be able to find God for herself. Don't think that what I'm talking about here this morning cannot affect us. The very thing that I'm talking about. Because it has. And it can again. May the Lord help us today. Folks, Paul says, read that again, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The soul, your soul, is defended by your will. You have a will. When temptation comes, when situations come in your life, you can say yes and you can say no. God has given you that power. He's given you that kind of power in your life to make the choices of whether you say yes or whether you say no. But remember, your will. Some people are very strong-willed, and I understand that. And we really need to give our will over to God. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, help us to give our will over to God. But folks, your soul is defended by your will, by the choices that you make. When a breach is made in your soul by the choices that you make, Do you know anything can come in? You make yourself susceptible to anything that the enemy wants to propose to you, that the enemy wants to try to bring in your life, that he wants to try to get in your heart. Folks, I know people that have been dealing with unforgiveness, hatred, anger, all kinds of inner tortures that they're experiencing from within because of ill treatment from someone or other people. And these things, folks, when they make a breach, when you make a breach in your soul and you allow yourself to open up and accept something like this young man right here did, you're making a way for anything to come in your heart and life. You know, you probably all read this scripture before. Did you ever ask yourself how this young man that married his mother, stepmother, do you ever ask yourself how he could continue to come to service and worship with that congregation and feel clear in his own mind? Folks, have you ever seen anyone with a conscience seared? Have you ever seen anyone that steps over the bounds of morality, over the bounds of honesty, over the bounds of integrity? Have you ever seen anyone step over those bounds and are able to just to go on like nothing changed, nothing happened, and everything's okay? Hunky-dory and dandy, as they say. That's the kind of devil, that's the kind of enemy, folks, that's on our trail every day. But it's you and I have the power. You and I have the ability to say no. You and I have the ability to stand up and hold the moral standard where it ought to be and where it ought to stand. But this young man didn't do that. Folks, when you choose to do wrong, and you choose, a breach is made in your soul. When you choose to do wrong, when you begin riding over the Word of God, when you begin riding over the dealings and workings of His Spirit, He made a supper. He made the call. People making excuses. When you begin to make excuses and there's things of the world that you want to do more than follow God, more than hear His Word, folks, I'm going to tell you this morning. Folks, you're riding over the Word of God and you're riding over His mercy and His love that He endeavors to send to each and every one of us. You tell God no, and I know this for a fact, He accepts that. You can tell God no, and He will accept that. Be careful, folks. Be very careful in your dealings with God. Be very careful in your dealings with the enemy. God will do just like Paul here said in the Word of God. He'll give us over to the destruction of the flesh in the hopes that the Spirit will be saved. I stand before you a testimony this morning, folks, that I got involved in things in the world, especially alcohol, no drugs. But I got involved in alcohol so heavily, and I'm paying for it today. It took a toll on my body, and I'm paying for it today. Because I told God no when He came after me and began to deal with me, and I went right on out there, knowing better, taught better, knowing that it was wrong. Oh, Lord, help us today. We are so vulnerable, aren't we? Without God, we're vulnerable. We are so vulnerable. There is a place when we continue to trample over the mercies of God, there is a place where the Spirit is delivered to Satan by the Spirit of God. Man cannot do that. Man cannot deliver the Spirit to Satan. Only God can do that. But there is a place where that can happen if we continually ride over the mercies of God. There's one thing about the Word of God. It never leaves you as it finds you. The Word of God wakes up our inner man. It wakes up our inner being. It speaks to the depths of our souls. It speaks to our morality. It speaks to a righteous God in our hearts and lives. The Word of God never leaves you as it finds you. In other words, once we have heard God's Word, it means we are more responsible than we ever was before. We're more responsible. And I've even had those thoughts back when I was younger. Well, I don't want to know. Folks, you're going to be held responsible for that too. Because God knows the heart. He knows just where each and every one of us are. You know, there's something I was thinking of meditating on this yesterday. Do you ever lose an important paper? Do you ever lose something that you really needed to find, you really needed to have? It's really important to you, isn't it? Let me tell you what we've lost today that's even more important than a business paper. That's conviction. We've lost and we're losing conviction more and more all the time. We're losing conviction, folks. That's how God deals with us. That's how God shows us the places that we need to move to in our lives. That's how God shows us the places that we're coming up short in. That's how God works with us through His love, is through the conviction of the Holy Spirit dealing and working with each and every one of us. Oh, God's gracious dealings, folks. Because He cares for us, because He loves us. Do you know? You can break the power of conviction. You can break the convicting spirit of God. You can say no. God will come back and a conviction will come again. But it won't be as strong as it was the last time. You can do it again, the third time. I know this. And God will come back again and begin to work around and send conviction to your heart and show you what you're doing. Show you keep that up, and it's going to get you in trouble. It's going to lead you astray. But you do that about three times, and the conviction's going to leave. And I feel like that people today have grieved the Holy Spirit so much and so many times that conviction, where is it? We don't see much of it anymore. And I say this because we have a room full of young people here this morning, and I want you to understand something. Yes, I come from the old school. I was raised up under the old time ministers, under the old time gospel, and it's still the same gospel today. But I can remember the times when I sat in those pews, and I can remember the Word of God going forth and conviction falling down on the congregation. I've seen people tremble at their seats. Even myself, I remember holding on to the seat in front of me when God was dealing with my heart because of conviction. Where's conviction today? We miss it. I miss it. I want to see people convinced that they need help. And the Lord is the only one that is able to help them. Do you know when you and I make a wrong choice? And we hold to that, it's easier to make another one. Other wrong choices become easier to make when we make the wrong choices. When you reject the Spirit, Satan takes more control of the flesh. He does. When you reject God, Satan is going to work around some way, somehow, to take more control of your flesh. It will cause desires to crop up. It will cause all kinds of things, weaknesses that you're going to have to deal with when you reject the Spirit of God. The more control that the enemy takes of the flesh, the more the flesh becomes the property of the devil, doesn't it? Becomes his property. He touches that and it moves and it's his. This is a close way, and I understand that. But when this happens, I want you to know that judgment has been carried out on you. When the devil begins to take control, and he begins to cause you to make excuses. I got these oxen I got to prove. I got a wife, and I got to go be with her. I got this to do. I got that to do. Folks, let me tell you, that's a dangerous ground to get on. It's dangerous to get on those grounds. It's a slippery slope. it caused you to lose your soul. And I believe everyone in here this morning is interested in their souls. I believe you're here because you're interested in your soul. May the Lord help us all to be interested in our souls and to realize how serious it is in living for the Lord. I was having some thoughts yesterday and had to write some of them down because I can't remember as well as I once did. But I want to put this out to you. The deterioration of personal responsibility, the loss of moral high ground, and the weakening of our sense of purpose in life are problems we can't ignore and continue to survive. We just can't ignore those things. Deterioration of personal responsibility. We're all personally responsible, aren't we? The weakening of our sense of purpose in life. The willful destruction of our religious heritage is a threat we can't afford to ignore, folks. You know what's going on out there. You here this morning, if you love the truth, I'm going to tell you something. You're in the minority. You're in the minority. But yet, again, with God, we're in the majority, aren't we? But this world doesn't love the truth today. Truth is rejected. Truth is laughed at. Truth is made fun of. Christianity is put down today. But even in all Christianity, there's not all truth. The devil's in everything he can get his hands into. May the Lord help us today. The gracious dealings of the Lord in your heart, in your life. How does he work with you? You see, we all have different ways of reasoning. We all reason differently. We all understand things differently. We all have different characters, personalities. We have all those things. But yet we still have a responsibility to live our life holy before God, don't we? I want to look, and I believe this will be my last text. But I'd like to go over here where Abraham is in Genesis. Talk about someone else, God's gracious dealings. What happens when someone lets the world affect them? Remember when Lot and Abraham, they both had a lot of cattle, and their herdsmen began to strive with one another. I'm going to save time and not read this. Their herdsmen began to strive with one another. And Lot said, or Abraham said, Lot, this is his nephew. There's a lot of land out there. Tell you what, we're brethren. We don't want to strive with one another. We don't want our herdsmen out there arguing with each other. Said, you go to the left and take the land that way, I'll go to the right. Or if you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Whichever you want. And the Bible says that Lot, a young man, he looked out there and he looked towards Sodom, didn't he? He looked toward the plains of Jordan. He saw it was well watered. It'd be beautiful, great land for his sheep and oxen and cattle all to be able to go over there and eat and drink and just flourish. And that's what he had in his heart. That's what he had in his mind. He looked towards the plains of Jordan. And the scripture said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Toward Sodom. Meaning, he went into Sodom. And he lived in Sodom. God's gracious dealings. You know, God has never let, and I'm going to say it this way, for lack of a better way to say it, concentrated evil go without judgment. God has always judged evil. And he continues to judge evil and will always continue to judge evil. But we find Lot over there in Sodom with his wife and his family, his children. And the Lord began to look down on Sodom. And he saw the evil and the wickedness that was there. Sodom and Gomorrah. You all know the story. And he saw the wickedness that was there. And yet it says these two men that had come to talk with Abraham, they went over to Sodom to check it out. But he said Abraham stood in the presence of God. And he began to earnestly intercede at that time and said, "Oh God, if you could find, you're a just God, you're a holy God, surely you won't destroy the righteous with the evil. If you find 50 righteous, will you spare them?" And this righteous God said, "Yeah." Well, he couldn't find them. He said, "Well, how about 45? Okay. But he couldn't find 45. Took that all the way down to 10. 10 righteous people in 2 cities. Folks, I don't know what kind of world you live in, but this is no time to stick your head in the sand and try to ignore what's around you. Our world is evil. It's a wicked world that we live in. If there isn't one way that the enemy can get you, he'll try another way. He'll use religion. He'll use anything he can to get to you and I to destroy our souls. He used that well-watered, well-grassed land over there for his cattle. All that looked good. Abraham said, "Fine, you go that way, and I'll go the other way." And when he went the other way, God said, "Abraham, I want you to stand up and look around and behold all that I give you." Saints, saints, I want you to look around and behold all that God has given you. Everything he's given you. Right here today, he's given us our health. He's given us our right minds. He's given us the right and the ability and the privilege to serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's given us the truth. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Look around and see what God has given you and I today. And may it become precious. May it become precious to your soul and what God has blessed you with and blessed us with today. And I thank God for that. So he intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he couldn't find 10 righteous people. I wonder sometimes how many there righteous people there are. I believe God's people today, I know there's a lot more than what we see, but I still believe they're the fewest of all people on earth. There's not that many that will accept the truth and walk and live a holy life. But I want us to read something, some here, in the 19th chapter of Genesis. When God began to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, I know this is a story too, but you know what really happened? I was reading archaeologists that went over there and have dug up a lot of the land over there in those kind of places, found that there was a civilization at one time that came to an abrupt end. All of a sudden it just disappeared. And they couldn't find any more to show signs of that civilization. They wonder if it's Sodom and Gomorrah. But nevertheless, he couldn't find 10 righteous people. But you know, Abraham intervened for Lot. He interceded for Lot. And the Lord looked down and he had mercy on Lot. And he sent the men. And the men came to Lot, verse 12. God's gracious dealings. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Folks, I'm fearful that that's the time that you and I are living in today. He went to his sons-in-law and said up, God's going to destroy this place. And it came basically in our language today, he said, are you joking? Are you kidding? God's not going to do that. They mocked him, didn't they? They made fun of him. Things had degenerated to the point where the family didn't believe that Lot was serious. But you know what? Lot was serious. The men there, they got his attention. They told him, you got to get out of here. Get your family and get out of here. And they mocked him. He was as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, now listen to this, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. He didn't say anything about sons-in-laws. Folks, we better believe. We better believe the word of God. We better believe what Jesus said. We better accept it with all of our heart, hide it in our hearts, Lord, and in our lives. He said he took his wife and his two daughters, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Folks, when the time came, the judgment was to fall. These men that had been invited to the wedding, these men said, he said, the meal is prepared, supper is ready, and they laughed and they mocked. They weren't spared, were they? He took his wife and his two daughters and they left the city. Folks, that's where things are today. We cannot live in this environment that we are in today without it having a noticeable effect on us individually. It'll have an effect on you. No matter how hard you fight, no matter how hard you resist, it'll have an effect when you see things and read things and hear things that are going on in our world today. But how is your character affected? How is your integrity affected? Do you still have integrity with God? Do you still walk honest with God? Integrity is that if there's no one else around that even can see what I'm doing, I'm still doing what I should be doing before God. Integrity means I'm doing that what is right, that what I understand. It's that I'm being faithful to God. Do you still have it intact? Do you still have a relationship with God? Folks, it's important for us to say to ourselves, how am I handling this old world that I live in today? How am I handling it? Am I handling it right? Am I keeping my heart right? Am I keeping things out that don't belong there? Am I staying away from those things that would cause my conscience to be seared? How are you handling it, folks? You know, Lot, he came from a land back far away. He came from a time when God was dealing with Abraham. And Lot knew some things. He knew about God. He knew who God was. He knew of his righteousness. But he'd been living in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Choice. Choices he made for he, his wife, and his daughters. And they got husbands over there. These folks over there living in this environment, it's all they knew. It's all they understood. They didn't know there was something better. Folks, you folks don't know that when I was growing up, we didn't have to lock our doors to keep people out of our homes. There wasn't all this breaking and entering and all these kind of things going on today. You and I don't, you young folks don't remember that we could buy a piece of land on a handshake because we trusted. There was confidence. There was respect among people. It's not there anymore. These men laughed. They don't know about those things. They didn't know about it. And he was as one as mocked unto them. May the Lord help us today. Folks, this is real. What I'm talking to you about this morning, it's reality. It's real. This is the real world. It isn't Disneyland. It isn't Disney World. It isn't the fairy tale world. It's reality. People today, I talk about the world today as we live in a cut flower world, don't we? People go out, they got flowers growing there around their house, and they're doing just fine and looking pretty, and they'll live for a long time. Go out and whack them off and bring them in the house and set them in the water. How long are they going to live then? They cut the flower off, the stem off from the very source that brought life to it, that brought longevity to it. And people have cut off Christ today. Cutting him off, folks. Crowding him out of their hearts. Crowding him out of their lives. We live in that cut flower world. I want you to beware of the devil's lies. I want you to understand something. You can be corrupted. Remember, that reminds me, when wife and I were giving a marriage counseling before I married a couple, and I looked at them sitting over there, and I looked at the young man, and I says, "You really love her, don't you?" And he looked at me, and he looked at her, and he said, "Well, yeah, I sure do." I said, "I believe that. But there'll come a day where you won't like her very well." Boy, his head jerked over to my wife. Look back at me. He didn't believe that. He didn't believe that. My wife says, "You don't believe that, do you?" He said, "No." She said, "You will." Do you know I've visited them since? He kind of got me alone one time. He said, "Brother Larry, you were right. Brother Larry, you were right." Folks, don't underestimate your enemy. Not your wife's not your enemy. Don't underestimate the devil. He will corrupt you. That's what I'm trying, that's the point I'm trying to make. He will corrupt you. If he can. If you let him. If you make the breach. He'll compromise your conscience and compromise your soul. He'll do that. Beware of his lies. You know, the devil says a lot of things to us, but do you ever hear him say anything about the resurrection and the judgment? No, he doesn't say anything about that. He hides those kind of things, doesn't he? Get your stand with God soundly. Soundly implanted on the rock of Jesus Christ. Our Savior. Our Lord and our King. Folks, I know about this old flesh, and I know where it'll take you. But I also know that the power of the blood of Jesus and the word of the precious word of God, folks, can keep us even in these days. I'm not trying to preach a message this morning to take away your heart, to take away your hope. God can keep us, and he will keep us, but we have some responsibilities, don't we? We have some things that we have to do. The wedding and the supper has been given. It's been made. Jesus has made the sacrifice. And the garment has been provided. But it comes down to what you and I, what we're going to do with it. You know, it's amazing to me how quick how fast that life has gone by. When I was 21 years old and I got married, I wasn't thinking of being 70. I wasn't thinking of 10 grandchildren and all those kind of things, and you weren't either, those of you that haven't. But it happens pretty quick, doesn't it? Life happens pretty quick. Be on your guard. Be watchful and prayerful, because these things and many others that we cannot mention at all, folks. But the devil, don't underestimate him. He's your enemy. And he's got a purpose, and that's to destroy your souls. But God sent his son, his loving son Jesus, that you and I can have a hope. I got a hope today. I got a hope, and it's bright. Because it's founded on the Word of God. It's founded in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And I got a hope today. And I thank the Lord for it. The world is in a miserable condition. People are miserable. People are hurting. People are in trouble out there today. But I got a hope. And my hope is bright in Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. Be aware. Be on your guard. Be watchful, prayerful, and careful is my counsel for each and every one of us today. Amen.